This podcast is part of the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This, our 14th episode, is the second part of a two-part series about your first firearm. The first part was last time in lucky episode 13. Dun, 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 dun. Well, last time we talked about handguns. I told you my personal preferences of basic types. Now it's the long gun's turn. Let's talk rifles and shotguns. Yeah, those are the two types of long guns that you're going to encounter anyway. Quick review here. Rifles shoot a single projectile, typically at fairly high speed for precision shooting. Shotguns, by contrast, shoot multiple projectiles at once, typically at a much slower speed. Generally speaking, rifles are the tools for longer distance shooting, with shotguns for the closer in work. Let's deal with the rifles first. There's a big to-do about rifles right now, especially with the proposed ban going on, the assault weapons ban of 2013 that's sitting in the Senate right now. So let's talk about that. For the city or suburban resident, I don't generally recommend rifles as a first firearm purchase, with exactly one exception, the 22 rifle. If you want to learn how to shoot a rifle and actually be good at it, get a 22 and practice your rear end off with it. Unless you're really, really lucky and know someone out in the country that'll let you practice on their property, you're probably looking at going to an indoor firing range. Many indoor ranges don't allow rifle cartridges like 5.56 NATO, but there isn't a range I know of that forbids 22s, so your choice of firing ranges goes way up. You shouldn't spend more than $300 on a good 22, and it's easy to stay well under that. My two favorite models? Ruger's 10/22 and Marlin's Model 60. Also, any of the bolt-action 22s are excellent choices. There's this 13-year-old girl who comes to the range with her father and her pink bolt-action 22. Yeah, I know, pink. But don't laugh too hard, folks. She's a little sharpshooter with that thing. She's all of, maybe 4'6", might be 70 pounds, dripping wet. She can shoot that thing. I've seen her in action. Naturally, her dad's about to bust his buttons because he's proud of his little girl, and rightly so. I would be, too. You know, I used to laugh at 22s. Yeah, I did. Oh, please, it's just a 22. How useful could a toy gun like that be? You know, in the real world. Yeah, famous last words. I used to think that. Right up until I tried one. Found something out, folks. Crow isn't the best tasting bird in the world. Y'all know that? Well, I sure found out because I had to eat some. Turns out 22 rifles are great for marksmanship training. It's one of the best things you can use. The so-called kick, if you can even call it that, it's like a BB gun. Seriously, it's almost non-existent. Matter of fact, I want to tell you a little story about that. Let's tell a little story. This involves my wonderful camera lady, Miss BHC, Miss Bleeding Heart Conservative. I gotten a Ruger 10/22 at one of the gun shows, and I decided I'd take her along with me because she enjoys going to the range with me, and we have a great time when we do that, those rare times when we do. I brought the 10/22 and a bunch of ammunition, one of those 550 Federal packs from Walmart. It was the first time it was ever going to be fired. So I asked her, well, would you like to fire it and initiate the rifle? Now, she had this view that it's the rifle, so it was just going to kick her shoulder into next Wednesday. She was a little intimidated by that. Well, she's actually here in the Liberals Gun Corner studios, such as they are, also known as my dining room.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Ms. BHC. Now, why don't you tell folks how you did with that?
Well, you sort of put yourself in the proper stance. What do you call that? The angle?
Right? Oh, yeah. Knowing that you were a little intimidated by this, I decided to have a little fun.
Yes, yes, you did. Well, let me tell you. Let me go back a little ways further past into the Wayback Machine. Thank you. First time you took me shooting, I was so intimidated just generally that I sat down in your car in the parking lot outside the range and cried for 5 minutes just because.
I know, guns.
It was, oh my God, it was going to be guns. Oh. So we moved me past that. So then you're in there with the 22. I'm standing there looking at you. Oh my God, it's a gun. It's a big gun. It's black. And you kind of crouched over.
Oh, I got a stance and a half. I played it up too, like it was, you know, one of these 300 Remington Ultra Mags or something like that. I got one of those stances, leaning way forward, gritted my teeth.
Yes, you did. And then you kind of looked back at me and said,
"You ready?"
It's like, okay, I think so. Go ahead.
And so then I got my stance about to shoot, and I looked back again and said, "You sure?"
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Well, okay, here goes.
All right.
And I get my extra tough stance even further, right? I grit my teeth. I look back at her one last time, and then I pull the trigger. Psh, psh, psh. That's what it sounded like. Then I look back at her with this shoe polish eating grin.
And I said, "Give me that."
Well, actually, first she said, "That's it."
That's it. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's it.
I said, "Yeah, that's it."
Give me that.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Folks, I nearly lost my rifle that day, so.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so I had to do something about that.
And a few times after that. And now I totally rock at it.
Thank you, Cowboy T. Well, you're welcome. And you'd be even better at it if I could get you to the range more often. You'd be winning competitions, my dear.
Back to you, Cowboy T. Thank you.
So, the point is, a 22 is a great marksmanship training tool that anybody can shoot, including Miss BHC. And she is naturally pretty good at this. So if you're going to consider one of these, then a 22 is an excellent option. Consider that the ammo is dirt cheap to buy compared to anything else, even the 9mm ammunition. They're also terrific for harvesting the small game like the rabbits and such for dinner. And as you just heard, they're just plain fun. I can't get enough of it. Now, here's what a 22 is not good for. Immediate stopping power on something the size of an assailant charging right at you. 22s will kill humans. Make no mistake. Folks, a 22 is not a toy, and I do not mean to denigrate or otherwise minimize the danger of mishandling any sort of firearm. It is a gun, and it can and will kill you if it's mishandled. It's not possible to overemphasize that point. But while a 22 will kill, it doesn't have what we call knockdown power. That's where you shoot the assailant. It's hard enough of a punch to actually knock the assailant down. A .45 will do that. So will a .357 Magnum. 22? Nope. It's a lot like, throwing a rock at someone versus, say, a medicine ball. Nail someone with a rock, it's going to hurt, and if you do it to me, I'm going to keep coming and beat the stuffing out of you for it. But throw a medicine ball at me and connect, you're going to knock me right down on my derriere. That's it. Well, that's what you want to do with a charging assailant, too. You want to knock them down so you can get away in one piece. The 22, it's like that rock. 45 is a bit more like that medicine ball. So, maybe not the best choice for personal defense, but for marksmanship practice, sure, get a 22 rifle. Absolutely. Fortunately, everything you learn in that 22 also transfers over to the other long guns, too. I can tell you that one from experience. In episode 2, we talked about guns that I think were pretty cool. One of them was a Ruger Model 9644 lever-action rifle and 44 Magnum. I'm pretty good with that thing. I've talked about it before. And it's because I did all that practice on a 22 beforehand. Now, what about the other rifles? You know, the 5.56s, the 308s, the 30-30s, the 30-06, any of the 338s, all that stuff. Short answer, no way. At least not for the city or the suburbs. Will they drop an assailant? Yeah, of course they will. It's what they were designed for, and they're really good at that. The problem is they'll keep right on going through not just the assailant, but also your walls and probably the neighbor's walls, too. We call this problem overpenetration. These higher-powered rifles are great for hunting game, but in the city, the suburbs, I'll tell you something, folks. You shoot a .30-06 from inside your home, you may well penetrate two or three other people's homes before that bullet stops. And if you're in an apartment complex, well, you can see that this is probably, how they say it, not a good plan. Rifles are much better for longer range shooting situations out in the country. For example, if you're hunting deer or bear, it's typically going to be at ranges of 100 yards or more. Same applies to hog hunting. A 250-pound wild pig has very sharp things called tusks, and the animals are built like tanks. I'm not talking about the domesticated pig that you see on TV. I'm talking about the wild hog that's a mean, hairy beast. A wild hog can be a very dangerous opponent if it charges at you. However, the meat is delicious. It's lean. It's organic. It's incredibly healthy compared to store-bought. You want to be a good distance away from that wild boar or the bear or the deer or the elk because guess what, folks? They're bigger than you. Now, of course, not every animal is bigger than a human. You got coyotes out there. They're not too terribly large, no. But let's say you got a farm. Coyotes can wreak havoc on certain animals you might be raising for food or whatever. You know, the coyotes in the hen house? They may not actually be super geniuses, but they sure are pretty wily critters, as any farmer will tell you. Some like a Remington 700, a Savage, an AR-15, or a Mini 14, any of these champions, say, I don't know, 223 or 243 Winchester, would be great for dealing with pests like coyotes on your farm. And that is indeed an exceedingly common usage. Here's another. You go out in the woods, you got big hairy things, other big hairy things, I should say, called bears. With enough strength to go toe-to-toe with the bionic man Steve Austin. Yes, there have been home invasions by grizzlies and brown bears out there. Situation like that? I want the biggest, baddest rifle I can get, and I want it right now. A .450 Marlin, or heck, better yet, a .458 Winchester Magnum can give you a lot of peace of mind. A shotgun with what's called a slug load would also be a good choice. But again, that's the country. Remember, we're not talking about that. We're talking first firearm for the city and the suburbs here. A rifle is typically not a good application for home defense for those environments, the city and the suburbs. As you just heard, out in the country, the situation may well be different. Now, in fairness, I really should address the one major situation in which I think a rifle would be a good choice in the city or the suburbs. This would be the social breakdown situation. I debated whether or not to even cover this here in the Liberals' Gun Corner because of, well, the ramifications of what this means. But, in fairness, I need to cover it. What we're talking about here is a Rodney King riots type of situation with gangs of marauders or natural disasters like Hurricane Katrina or Superstorm Sandy where there's widespread devastation, stuff like that. Well, in the first situation, the Rodney King type of deal, you got roving gangs of maybe 10 or more street thugs going around, taking whatever they want and beating the daylights out of anyone they think is in their way. In the second situation, you got jackbooted thugs, unfortunately, get this, they're wearing badges going around, tackling grandmas and confiscating people's firearms at machine gun point, like what happened to Hurricane Katrina. In both situations, we're talking social breakdown, chaos, lawlessness, sadly, tragically, amazingly, even among some of the police that are supposed to be protecting us. And in either sort of a case, something like an AR-15 or an AK-47 would prove just as useful as those M1 Garands and M1917 Enfields did during the Battle of Athens, Tennessee in 1948, or those Korean shop owners on the roofs with their AR-15s during the LA riots in 1991, the so-called Rodney King riots, or against the gangs and the looters in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy in New York and New Jersey, assuming either state actually allowed you to have them. But that's a social breakdown situation. The more typical home defense scenario, which is really what we're talking about here in this episode, seems to be a burglar or an assailant breaking into the home. That more typical scenario is really more what I have in mind here. And for that scenario, I do not consider rifles a good first choice for urban and suburban defense. They're just not versatile enough, in my view, as your first firearm. After the station ID break, we'll get into shotguns. Vice President Joe Biden seems to like those. Stay tuned.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or a $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network, so visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards, and PayPal accounts are not required. Gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, now let's talk shotguns. The most common types available are the 410, the 20-gauge, and the classic 12-gauge. The 12-gauge shotgun is truly a formidable defense firearm. Masad Ayoub talks about this extensively in his books. The reason the police carry shotguns in the back of their police their patrol cars, that's because sometimes the going can get tough. When that happens, a shotgun with some buckshot in it will make confetti out of pretty much anything in its path, including an assailant. You've heard of the one-stop shot? A shotgun will do that. As a matter of fact, it'll do it better than anything else out there. And since the cops would like to go home in one piece, gee, imagine that. The cops would like to be alive, too. Thank you very much. They understandably appreciate the security a shotgun can provide, and I don't blame them. And speaking of shotguns, normally I strongly disagree with Vice President Biden's expressed views on firearms. But this one time, I have to agree with old Joe. He was talking about how to protect yourself in California after, say, an earthquake and the resulting riots and panic that would surely follow. Quote, "You want to keep people away in an earthquake? Buy some shotgun shells." Close quote. Now, granted, he was speaking in a different context, and his other advice is absolutely wrong, especially about, what did he do, tell his wife to fire two shots in the air? Also known, by the way, as felony negligent discharge. I guess if you're a high official or his or her spouse, the laws don't apply to you. That must be what he means. But the substance of that one particular statement, go buy some shotgun shells, actually is correct. As a short-range defensive firearm, a shotgun really has no peer for sheer ability. Shotguns come in not just different gauges, but also different types, by the way. You got the traditional break action from the old stagecoach days. That's Joe Biden's double-barreled variety, by the way. You've also got the pump action. That's the kind that makes that rack-rack sound, you know, kind of like this. That, folks, is the universal get-the-heck-out-of-my-house-now noise. Lots of companies make pump shotguns. Remington 870s, Mossberg 500s, Hatson Escorts, among many others, they're just a few examples of this type. And then there are the semi-automatic shotguns. These function a lot like semi-automatic rifles. You pull the trigger, the round goes bang, another round is automatically fed into the chamber, and you're ready to fire the next round. Remington 1100s and 1187s, Mossberg 930 SPXs, Sega 12s, Benelli M4s, they're all examples of this type. My personal preference is for the pump-action shotgun. That's the kind that makes that sound. The reasons are twofold. You get the higher ammo capacity of the semi-auto. It's usually somewhere between 5 and 8 rounds. Plus, you get the ultra reliability of Joe Biden's old single shot or double barrel break action. Also, they can be reloaded very quickly with practice, right through the ejection port. You just watch the cowboy action shooters to see just how fast this can be done. All those reasons are why the cops like them too. You look at the back of a whole lot of police cars, you will see a pump-action shotgun. There is a potential issue, though. I've fired plenty of 12-gauge shotguns of various types with ammo of various types. Gee, big surprise, I'm a rangemaster. Of course I've done that. With very few exceptions, the recoil on a 12-gauge is not what I would call for the faint of heart. The only exception I know of to that rule is the semi-automatic Remington 1100, which actually has fairly mild recoil, surprisingly so, but it's the exception. I do know people who shoot 12-gauge pump shotguns regularly. They're used to the recoil, but they also have some very good recoil pads on them, too. This is to help cushion that kick. So, as effective as they are, I'm not sure I'd recommend a 12-gauge as a first firearm unless you're willing to spend some quality time getting used to it. Naturally, some of you folks out there listening will say, oh, 12-gauge isn't so bad. Well, if you're me, no, it isn't. But for my mother, oh boy, it sure was. That was her first introduction to shooting on someone's Benelli M1 12-gauge. Nobody taught her the correct way to shoot one. They just said, here, try this. She had totally improper stance, nearly isosceles. Yeah, I know, isosceles stance with a long gun, not good. But see, not her fault either, though. Nobody bothered to show her the right way. Again, they just said, here, try this. She didn't know to hold it up tightly against her shoulder either. Again, nobody told her. Those of you who fired these, you can guess what happened. After the first shot, her shoulder was so sore she swore she'd never touch a gun again. Not good. Years later, I had to use a whole lot of diplomacy to get her to consider trying even the 38 Special. Now, one nice thing about 12-gauge shotguns is the ammo's available everywhere. Oh, and it's cheap, too. You can get 100 rounds of practice birdshot rounds from Walmart for under $25. That's less than 25 cents a round, folks. Right around the price of even the cheapest 9mm handgun ammo you'll ever see in stores. That means it is affordable to practice with should you choose this route. You can afford to spend that quality time with it that I mentioned earlier. Now what about the 410 shotgun? That one's meant for hunting small game like quail, squirrel, similar type stuff. But like a 22, a 410 shotgun might be marginal for stopping power against a charging human assailant, depending on the situation. Plus, even practice ammo for the range, which is pretty readily available, isn't what I'd call cheap. The Taurus Judge and the Smith & Wesson Governor revolvers, which also shoot 410 shot shells as well as 45 Colt, have helped ammo availability a good deal, but 410 shot shells are still not inexpensive. 20-gauge shotgun might be a good middle ground. The 20-gauge is powerful enough to drop an assailant right there, but the kick is a bit less pronounced than with a 12-gauge. 20-gauge ammo is not quite as ubiquitous as 12-gauge, no, but it's still reasonably widely available. There's a rather tall, blonde woman who comes to our range sometimes. She brings an old Winchester shotgun. She's been gracious enough to allow me to shoot it a couple times. Man, is that shotgun fun. I think it was her dad's or granddad's or something like that. Anyway, she shoots this thing with aplomb, and she counts on it for her own self-defense. You don't want to mess with this woman. In any shotgun at all, what ammo's best for that, God forbid, defensive situation? The general suggestion out here, and I agree with it, is some kind of buckshot, hands down. Anything from number 4 buckshot to triple-aught buckshot will do very nicely. Use number 4 or number 1 buckshot in apartments and townhouses, or any other situation where over-penetration through the walls could be an issue. When over-penetration's not a big concern, well, use double-aught or triple-aught buckshot, depending on what's available in your local sporting goods store. They are both excellent. One other thing to consider. Any long gun, including a shotgun, is going to be a bit more unwieldy than a handgun when you're scoping out the house at night, tracking down that bump in the night. And this is why some shotguns out there have these pistol grips on them. Makes them look like an extra long, super big bore handgun. Mossberg has a model that they call the Persuader. I don't recommend this type. They're much more difficult to aim properly. To me, their only value is in how cool someone's trying to look, and that's with very few exceptions. There are a couple, but they're the exceptions. I much prefer and recommend a type with the traditional shoulder stock, the type you see on duck hunting shotguns. These are much, much easier to fire accurately. And yes, folks, by the way, you do need to actually aim a shotgun properly. It's not this diabolical cone of doom that magically destroys anything in a 10-foot radius. It ain't like that. This is the real world, folks, not Marvel Comics, okay? You've got to aim it properly. I see so many people bringing in these pistol grip shotguns and they can't hit the center of the target, trying to be Rambo with this fire from the hip nonsense. In order to be successful with that, you've got to practice a whole lot for a very long time if you want to even hope to get that right. And I don't mean just going to the range every weekend and shooting off a few, no. I'm talking thousands of rounds per year. Thousands per year. So these pistol grip shotguns are definitely not a first firearm purchase in my view. That's for doggone sure. I would avoid them. Now we've talked about a lot of things here. Like with handguns, there are also a lot of models of long guns too, both rifles and shotguns. So what would be a good specific suggestion for long guns? Or suggestions, because there may be more than one, if that's what you're thinking about for your first firearm purchase. Well, as you might imagine, I do have some more specific recommendations. I'll give you those as soon as we get back from Station ID break. See you soon!
New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is bloviating about gun shows, blaming these congenial get-togethers as a source of violence in his city. Bloomberg evidently hasn't listened to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, which reports that less than 1% of guns used in crimes were bought at a gun show. Bloomberg might want to listen to the Anti-Gun Center to Prevent Handgun Violence, which surveyed large police departments and learned that less than 5% of cop shops felt that gun shows were a problem. Better yet, Bloomberg should put a chain on his local thugs and leave out-of-state gun shows alone. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, we're back. We're talking long guns as a possible first firearm purchase. We've discussed the two basic types, rifles and shotguns. I promised you my recommendations, for whatever they're worth. So, here they are. Do recall, we're talking about folks living in cities or suburbs. For rifles, I mentioned earlier that the .22 is really the best choice. It's hard to do better than a .22 rifle for marksmanship practice. My personal favorite, Ruger's 10/22 model. These are typically around $250. The other one I'd recommend is Marlin's Model 60. These can be had for under $200 just about anywhere, usually closer to $150, and they are very good as well. If your preference is for a bolt-action rifle, pick any of them. They're all good. Savage Arms is just one example, makes an excellent one. That said, rifles, again, aren't generally something I'd recommend for the typical urban or suburban defense scenario, and that, with the exception of the social breakdown situation, includes the AR-15 type rifles that are so popular nowadays. Now, make no mistake, I maintain fervently that we have the right to keep and bear them, to operate them, to buy and or handload ammo for them, and so on. And if there's ever a Hurricane Katrina type or a LA riots type situation, an AR-15 or a Mini 14 or similar to that is a good thing to have. But remember, we're talking here about your first firearm purchase. For that, I think there are better choices of firearm type. But if you're dead set on a rifle for home defense as your first firearm purchase, then, well, I'd recommend that you consider Rossi's Model 92 lever action in .357 Magnum. It also shoots .38 Special, which is a major plus, and the rifle's not terribly expensive. You can get them for in the 400s or low 500s. I would suggest going for the 16-inch barrel. It's a lot handier than the 20-inch version. But again, if you're thinking about something like this for home defense, then I'd really suggest you consider a handgun or a shotgun. Seriously, I love my lever gun, but I count on the .357 revolver, a handgun, for home defense. And speaking of shotguns again, let's get to those. The single most popular model of shotgun sold in the United States, actually anywhere I think, is the Remington Model 870 pump action. Oh gosh, over the years, Remington has sold how many? Well over 10 million of these things. And it's for a good reason. They are exceedingly reliable. Oh, and if you're into customization, the aftermarket for these things is immense. I mentioned before that cops carry pump shotguns in their police cars and their patrol cars. Well, guess what a whole lot of them are? They're Remington 870s. We have one rental shotgun at the range. It's also a Remington 870, and it sees a whole lot of use and just keeps right on going. It's like the Energizer Bunny. It just won't quit. Says something pretty good about its durability, doesn't it? Another fine choice, Mossberg's 500 series, including the 590s. They, too, are very reliable. They use what's called a Tang safety. And yes, that's T-A-N-G, just like the drink. Personally, I find that easier to reach than where Remington puts the safety on their shotguns, but both styles do work well. Mossberg's location is just my personal preference. These shotguns are also immensely popular and have a strong aftermarket. You won't see just Remington 870s in squad cars. You'll also see some Mossberg 590s as well. My third choice, Hodson's Escort Series. Hodson is a Turkish company that's been making firearms for a while. Basically, they used Remington's 870 blueprint to make their own shotgun. Well, it seems like that was a pretty good idea. The Escort shotguns feel a whole lot like 870s, and they shoot just as well. And, by the way, that's a good thing. A lot of the 870 accessories will also fit the Escort. The best part? None of these shotguns are terribly expensive. From lowest price to highest price, it's Hodson Escort, then Mossberg 500, then Remington 870. All of them are good, and all of them will do the job. A 20-gauge is a good choice, as is a 12-gauge if the recoil doesn't bother you. And if you're thinking of future ammo availability, yes, shot shells, just like centerfire rifle and handgun cartridges, can also be reloaded or hand-loaded. Plenty of people reload shotgun shells. It's not difficult, and the components are readily available. If you can get out to a range that rents shotguns, then I'd suggest trying out as many models as you can. Same applies to 22 rifles. If your range rents these, try them out. Now that we've talked about long guns as an option for a first firearm purchase, let's tie this up in a little bow as much as we can. You've heard about revolvers. You've heard about semi-auto pistols, rifles, and shotguns. What should be your first firearm purchase? Well, that's why I keep suggesting you go to the range and try out as many as you can, and the one you like shooting the most? That should be your first one. Gee, sounds a whole lot like what I was telling you episode 13, huh? For me, it was a 357 Magnum revolver shooting light 38 special rounds. That was my first gun. For you, it may well be a 22, either rifle or handgun. You'd be amazed how many of those 22s at Walmart, Dick's, and Gander Mountain, Cabela's, all the other sporting goods stores sell each and every year. It's immense. And they're obviously getting used because, get this, folks, over 2 billion rounds of 22 are produced each and every year. So, popular choice, no doubt. However, if you're like that fella I know who got jacked up at gunpoint by people who know where he and his wife live, and like him, you therefore need something fairly immediately for self-defense, I generally suggest something in 357 Magnum or 9mm. Oh, and unless you have your conceal and carry permit, I do not mean a pocket gun. Pocket guns are very lightweight, and therefore, thanks to Newton's laws of motion, the recoil will probably snap the heck out of your hand, and you probably won't like practicing with it. Instead, I'd recommend considering a service-size handgun. In my view, that's going to be about the most versatile household defense firearm of the various types. You're much more likely to practice with something that you're comfortable shooting. Immediately behind that would be a shotgun, either the 12 or 20 gauge loaded with some buckshot. In both cases, folks, take a firearms safety class. I said this last time, no, I'm not kidding, and in this kind of situation, it doesn't matter at all what it costs. This is your life we're talking about here. You need the class. Take it. Any questions about any of this? We'll hold an Ask the Rangemaster session on the Gun Rights Radio Network forums in the Liberals Gun Corner section. It'll be in the episode 14 area. Here's what you do. Just head over to www.gunrightsradio.com, www.gunrightsradio, all one word, .com, and choose the forums section at the top of the page. Post your questions. I'll do my very best to answer them, and if I can't answer it, well, then I'll do my darnest to get your point in the right general direction. But I'll tell you this, I'm sure glad you're considering becoming a gun owner. The choice to do so or not always needs to be there. That's what the Second Amendment is there for, to make sure you, well, heck, all of us, always have that choice. This is Cowboy T signing off until next time. Till then, safe shooting, happy shopping, practice regularly, and thanks for listening.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. gunrightsradio.com.